been looking forward to this message today because our message today will be on the biblical teaching of the doctrine of love. It's a special message, even though you've probably heard messages on love and loving one another, but there are some special things that the Bible teaches about love. I'm going to read 2 John, and on page 2, after the title page on your study guide, you should have a complete literal translation of all 13 verses of this one chapter book. We're going to read it verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all the ones who have known the truth, on account of the truth, which is abiding in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced exceedingly that I have found some from out of your children walking in truth, according as we received commandment from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but which we had from the beginning, in order that we should love one another. And this is the love, in order that we should walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, according as you heard from the beginning, in order that you should walk in it. Because many deceivers entered into the world, the ones who are not confessing Jesus Christ coming in flesh. This person, this one, is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Be continually watching yourselves in order that we might not lose what things we worked out, but we might receive a full reward. Everyone turning aside and not remaining in the doctrine of the Christ does not have God. The one remaining in the doctrine of the Christ, this one has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house and do not say to him, greetings, for the one saying greetings to him is sharing in his evil works. While having many things to write to you, I did not intend to express them through paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and to speak face to face, in order that our joy might be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. We're studying John's writings. We've studied the Gospel of John. We've gone through 1 John. Now we're going through 2 and 3 John, and we will also be going through the book of Revelation. 1, 2, and 3 John are part of what is called Jewish literature. From the book of Hebrews through Revelation, that whole section is Jewish literature, and it must be understood from a Jewish Hebrew perspective. 1, 2, and 3 John are arranged according to size, not importance, but size. 1 John is the largest, 2 John next, and 3 John is the smallest. These are all written by the Apostle John. 2 John was written in the late 80s, early 90s AD. He's writing from Ephesus, and he's writing to the churches in Asia Minor, the same churches that he mentions in the book of Revelation. The theme of the book, love and truth are inseparable. Love and truth cannot be separated. They are inseparable. Love must be governed by the truth, and the truth must be governed by love. You cannot separate them. Last week, we took verses 1 through 3. First of all, the person who wrote the letter, he calls himself the elder. The definite article, the, tells us that this is somebody who is specific, well-known, not just any elder, he is the elder. John at this time has probably in his 90s. He's the only remaining apostle from the original apostles. And he is overseen, and he's the elder for many churches that look to him for ministry. So he is called the elder. The people to whom the letter was written is to the elect lady and her children. Many scholars, modern-day scholars, take this to be symbolic language, cryptic or code for a church, because the church is called the bride of Christ, that this elect lady is a church and her children are the members of the church. As I told you last week, I have rejected that approach and presentation for several reasons. Number one, children are not children of the church, they're children of the Lord. Secondly, in verse 13, when it says, the children of your elect sister greet you, it doesn't say your elect sister greet you, it says the children of your elect sister. So she obviously has passed away. She's no longer in the mix. Writing to an individual, some believe that this elect lady, some take the word elect and make it a name, Lady Electa, that it was written to Lady Electa, or the word lady, kuria, in Greek, in modern pronunciation, it would be the word kyria. Some think that this is to elect kyria. Kyria in Greek is equivalent to Martha in Aramaic. So some believe that this is to a lady by the name of Kyria. As I mentioned to you last week, it is, there's no doubt in my mind that it's written to a specific person that John has in mind, and the possibility is that this is Mary. It is to John that Mary was co-signed. Jesus told John at the cross, basically, behold your mother, mother, behold your son. So John was to take care of Mary. In John chapter 19, verse 25, it tells us that Mary's sister was at the cross. So we have verse 13 taken care of. So this is a person, whoever you want to receive it to be, and her children, who later is told about her house. Churches met in homes in these days. But here, John is ministering to her about her hospitality. She's got too much love. He's being hospitable to everybody that comes through town, proclaiming the name of Christ, and she doesn't know their doctrine. And by loving her, by her loving them, it's not according to the truth. Truth and love are inseparable. For them, John says, whom I love, I is emphatic. The word love is a present tense, which means continuously, ongoing. I am continuously loving this elect lady and her children. I love them in truth. Even when we get to 3 John, John is going to mention this statement, I love the children who walk in truth. Well, wait a minute, John, what if they're not walking in the truth? Aren't we supposed to love everybody? You'll find as you read through Scripture, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to expose you to a series of Scriptures that tells us that God's love is limited to the body of Christ. Are we not supposed to love the people of the world? 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things in the world. God so loved the world that he came and sacrificed his son for sin. And that's his expression of love. You either come through Christ or you're on your own. Our love to the world is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. the way of salvation and the provision of God. But to love people, we're going to study that. This elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all of the ones who have known the truth. Everybody that's saved. When he says, whom I love in truth, there's no definite article the, so he's talking about the sphere in which his love is directed towards this woman and her children. He loves them in the sphere of truth. But then when he says, all the ones who have known the truth, that is the definite article. It is now personified. You see, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The truth is a person. Everybody who receives Jesus Christ has the truth. Maybe not so much worked out in our minds. He goes on to say in verse 2, the premise for his love for them is on account of the truth. The whole basis for his love for this woman and her children is on the basis of truth, but notice what verse 2 says, which is abiding or remaining in us. Present participle, abiding. It's permanent and it's constant. The love is constantly abiding within us, and notice what it says, and will be with us forever. That's a promise. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you have the truth, and the truth of God will be in you and will be with you forever, never to leave. Verse 3, we saw the promise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. Not should be or might be, will be with you. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I told you, the words from God the Father and from Jesus Christ are not the usual words for from. These two words are denoting that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are the same. And he goes on to say, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Father. False teachers taught that the Father and the Son are separate. No relationship. In fact, Jesus Christ is not called the Son of God because they knew what that title meant. You read in John chapter 5 that he was the Son of God and they went to kill him because he made himself equal to God. They knew what the title meant. And then at the end of verse 3, it says, in truth and love. That has to do with grace, mercy, and peace being with you. It will be with you in the sphere of truth and love. For today, verse 4, as we get to the point of his letter, he says, I rejoiced, past tense. He's responding to some kind of report that he has had from others. And as he heard this report, he rejoiced. I rejoiced exceedingly. The word that shows the content of the rejoicing, that I have found. Perfect tense, that means this is an ongoing, continued discovery. That I have found some from out of your children walking in truth. Not the truth, but in truth. Now, when he says some from out of your children, he doesn't mean that some of them are not saved. It just means that he only has personal knowledge of just certain ones. He says, my joy is that I have heard, or I've come to find out, that some from out of your children are walking in truth. And so John says that is an occasion to rejoice. The word truth does not have the definite article, so it's the sphere in which they are walking. In case you want to know about walking, walking is a present participle showing continuous lifestyle. And by the way, walking is a Hebrew idiom that means to live. The Christians are told about walking, 1 John 1:7. He says, if you walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, We have fellowship one with another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Found all through the scriptures is that Christians are to walk. It's an idiom for lifestyle. I rejoice that I have found some from out of your children continuously walking in truth as a lifestyle, according as we received commandment from the Father. Verse 5. And now I request, here's the reason for the letter. Now at this present time, and when he says I request, this is a formal request. I request you, lady, not as writing a new commandment to you, but one which we had from the beginning. And I'm making this request in order that we should love one another. Notice it's a purpose clause. In order that we should love one another. This morning I want to share with you briefly the doctrine of love. This is very important. This will probably be one of the most important studies that we will ever have about love. And if you do not want to get caught in the trap of people trying to motivate you to love, you don't want to get caught in that trap, please take heed, even take notes if you can. The two greatest commands, Jesus was asked, what are the two great commands? Of course, we know what those are, but I want to read them literally from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. In verse 5, the Hebrew says, and you will love Yahweh, your God, in all your heart and in all your soul and in all your strength. I emphasize to you because the New Testament translates it literally. Did you catch it? You will love. There's no command. You will love. Love Yahweh your God. In verse 6, then God says, and these words that I am commanding you today will be upon your heart. That should be, will be. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 is the second. You will not execute vengeance, nor will you keep a grudge against the children of your people. Talking to the Jews. But you will love your fellow as yourself, your fellow Jew as yourself. I am Yahweh. Based on those two scriptures, as we turn over to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40, that's the scene for us. It sets the scene for someone coming up to Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 34. It says, now after the Pharisees heard that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together for the same reason. They said, basically, it's our turn. He put the Sadducees to silence. Now it's our turn to get him. We got a lawyer here. And one of them, a lawyer, questioned him by testing him and saying, Matthew 22, 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you will love the Lord your God in your whole heart, and in your whole soul, and in your whole mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. In these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. That's the Lord's answer. What are the two great commandments? You will love God and you will love your neighbor. That causes problems. He calls it a command. But to love is never in a command. So what's going on here? If we understand from the Old Testament, it's God telling his people that those who are changed in their heart when God's Spirit comes, when God's Spirit comes into them, they will love. And that's the command. He didn't say you should love. He says you will love God. And you will love your neighbor. That's shocking. Brings us to the next point. What does the Bible teach about love itself? And we'll put all the pieces together. 1 John 4:7. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, we should be loving one another." Not a command. Because love is from God, and everyone who is loving has been born from out of God, and he knows God. Everybody who is influenced by and is filled with the love, this agape love from God, has been born from out of God, and that's why they have the love. 1 John 4:8. The one not loving did not know God, because God is love. The Bible tells us that love is not a human action. Love is not a human expression. Love is the nature of God. The reason why a person that does not have the love of God doesn't know God and is not saved, because when you have received the Spirit of God and the nature of God into your spirit when you're saved, you have his love. You're in his love. And in spite of yourself, you are governed by the love of God. You might not see it. Now, I know I don't love the way God wants me to love. But I see his Spirit in me with that love, because God loves. He's concerned about our spiritual welfare. We're not even concerned about our own spiritual welfare outside of the Spirit of God. 1 John 4:12, he says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we should be loving one another, God is dwelling in us, and his love has been perfected in us." If anybody's loving, it's because God is dwelling in them. So how does this apply to us? Thirdly, Romans 5:5 says, "The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, you probably all know that about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of God's Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, love. The love of God enters into a person's life the moment they receive Christ. When his Spirit comes in, God's Spirit brings love. And the fruit of God's Spirit is love. Love is produced by God's Spirit. Fourthly, how does this work out with one another? Interesting. 1 John 4:21, John says, "And this commandment we have received from him, in order that the one loving God is also loving his brother." Not should. Factual statement. The person who has been born of God is loving God and is loving his brother. Fact. 1 John 5 Verse 1, the second half of the verse, everyone loving the one who has given birth, that's God, is loving also the one who has been born from him. That's the children of God. Doesn't say should, says is. Now, just with these few scriptures for this week, when you put the scriptures together that talk about the love of God from the Bible, nowhere is it telling us that God has saved us and that we need to produce love among ourselves. The command that Jesus gave in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 is the one that everyone turns to and uses to promote the teaching that we are the ones that must produce the love. Listen to the literal translation of John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, in order that you should love one another, according as I loved you, in order that you also should love one another. In this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you should have love among one another. First of all, God's love is shared within the body of Christ. Why aren't we supposed to go out and love our neighbor? Well, here's the problem. The teaching of love that we've heard over the years is a kind of human love, a human effort. That loving my neighbor means to come out and just get mushy all over them, you know. Hi, how you doing? Called sloppy agape. I've just got to go show the love of God to all these people. It's human produced. Human produced. That's love, but it's not agape love. I found in my life the frustration of living up to the standards of love. And I couldn't keep it up, you know. I fail, so people say, well, you fail. So you just need to confess your sins and keep loving. Many, many years made no difference or influence on anybody. Other than people could see through me and say, here comes that salesman Christian trying to look happy and be loving and, you know, to win them over. No, it says when we have love for one another amongst each other, people will know that we're his disciples. It's the love of God that is shared amongst those people that have his spirit dwelling in them. People will see it and say, wow, they must belong to Christ. Because they have love among one another as disciples. See, God from the Old Testament, he commanded that for everybody that receives his Spirit, you will love God. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. How'd you like that for a command? Try to figure that one out. I hear people teach on it, and they keep repeating the same thing. God commands us to go out and love people because he says, you will love the... It's like, well, time out. Hold it. There's no command there. He's not commanding me. His command is you will. It's a fact. Factual statement. And I have found in my own life then when I stopped trying to produce what God wants to produce in me, that there was a love flowing from his Spirit to me and through me that was never there before. Love is another issue and another topic, like faith, truth, all of these issues. That when you go to church, you're taught, here's what we're supposed to be doing. So go out there and start loving because we've been given the command. How do I do that? How do I love people the way God wants me to? What, be nice to them? What? What is it? What human effort or what human expression can I give? It's in the same category as everything else. Do you know that as a human being, I can have faith? Not the faith the Bible's talking about. If I'm going on a plane trip and I pack my luggage, if I pack my luggage and if I put that luggage on the airplane, that's a type of faith. I mean, I'm trusting I'm going to get there. I mean, if I knew the plane was going to crash, I mean, why pack? Right? So I've shown a human kind of faith, but that's not the faith the Bible's talking about. Because faith also is a fruit of God's Spirit. Love is a fruit of God's Spirit. Everything goes back and points to Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is the truth. Ephesians chapter 2 says He is our peace. Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31 says, He is our sanctification. He is our wisdom. God also is love. I can't produce love. But God tells me that in spite of who I am and what I am, God's Spirit living in me is going to work out His love in and through my life to others. They might not understand it from a human standpoint, but that's love. As we studied from 1 John chapter 5, you see, love is the evidence that somebody is saved. Love is the evidence. As John says, the one who's been born of God is loving the children of God. Fact. Not should, is. One of many topics in the Scriptures that are misapplied when people say, well, now that you've saved and received Christ, here's what you got to do. You got to go out and practice faith. You can go down to the bookstore and buy books on how to practice faith. You can go down to the bookstore and buy books on how to love. But you won't find books at the bookstore that'll say, you can't do any of these. All the things in all these books you can't do. You only sell one book in the Christian bookstore. You can't do it. You can't do it. That's right. Put it right there when people come in the door to say, every book in this store you can't do. So you purchase at your own risk. The How to Do It books. God's command is you will love. You will love Him with all your mind and all your strength. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. You will. The word neighbor means the closest person to you at any given time. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it meant your fellow Israelite to the Jews. God didn't tell him to love the heathen. Love your fellow Jew. Love the other one who's chosen race by God. It's when we step out of the way and we allow God's Spirit to minister through us and touch the lives of other people. And in reverse, God's Spirit touches us through others' lives with the love of God as He ministers to us as our great high priest, as our Savior, and as our Lord. Then people see. They don't see church. They don't see salesmen coming out from a certain church to try to get others to join their religious system. What they see is the love of God. 1 John chapter 2, it says, stop loving the world and the things that are in the world. If anybody should love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. the love that belongs to the Father. It doesn't belong to me. When I say, Lord, change my life, change the direction of my life, I repent. I make a decision for change, and I surrender my life for His Spirit to come into my spirit and save me. He's changing my heart to not love the things that I used to love, and to love Him instead. Yeah, I didn't love Him before I got saved. Tried to show respect by going to church every once in a while. But now He, by His Spirit, has put a love in my heart for Him and a love in my heart for the people of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I have found that it is overwhelming the moment that I step out of the way. The moment that I say, God, You saved me, and You want love through me, I'll take care of it. And just step out. And when I start doing it, God stands back there and just like, I can't do anything till You get through. The moment that I realize what God's word is telling me, it's not for me to do. It's for Him to do. Without Him, I cannot do one thing. Zero. Nothing. So I come and I confess to Him. I have sinned. I have tried to love the way You want me to love. And it was a human effort. And spiritually, it ministered to nobody. And it was a false representation of the love of God. When I surrender my life to Him for His Spirit, to who is love, to minister to me His love and minister through me His love to others, then others will say, you're one of His disciples. We're going to continue with this. There's much more. Next week, our obedience to the Lord is based on love. Did you know that? If you don't love Him, you won't obey Him from the heart, because love motivates us to obey the Lord. That's what the Word of God teaches. I hope and pray that these scriptures that we've studied this morning, it won't be taken as just another lesson, but you realize that there's a whole different teaching and presentation about what the Bible says about love versus somebody reading a text about love and then spending the whole time telling people how you got to love. You don't know how many messages I've heard over the last few weeks from John chapter 15 about I am the vine, you are the branches, and about bearing fruit. One preacher said, well, bearing fruit is reading your Bible about 10 chapters a day and witnessing. I didn't see that in the text, but, you know, we're pretty smart. We can figure these things out. Then I heard somebody else using the same text. They said, well, bearing fruit means that you study your Bible. He didn't say how many chapters, so we kind of questioned there. But he says you have to memorize Scripture, 3x5 cards, and then you will produce fruit. It's like, time out. Talking fruit here. We're not talking about works here. Jesus said, without me, you can't produce fruit. And if I'm in your heart, you are producing fruit. Factual. But do you see how we take all these major issues of the Christian faith and we put it into a disciplined religious ethic that we have to practice? For many years, I thought to myself, you know, obeying God's commandment to love should be more enjoyable than this. I mean, the love of God poured out in your heart, you ought to rejoice. What a bummer. Loving people's a bummer, you know. You go, I got to love. But once you step out of the way and you realize that God's already taken care of it, His command is you will love because His Spirit in you will produce it. And if His Spirit in you is not producing it, you don't know God. That's what it says. There's no in-between. Like, you can love today and don't love tomorrow. Hold that thought. Pray about it. Think about it. Like Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Not free from responsibility, but free from the struggle and striving of human effort to try to do what God's word says. When God just says, trust me, He gives us love for Him. We love Him because He first loved us and our love for our brothers and sisters. Tough to do. Easier to love God than it is at brothers and sisters in Christ. But God gives us the love. For that, I'm thankful. Amen. Closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit, for your love poured out upon us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you have done for us on the cross, that you have provided for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for pouring out your Spirit upon our hearts and the love of Christ being within us, that we might experience the love of God and that we might observe God's love in us, through us, to others, our brothers and sisters in Christ. May all know that we are disciples of you because of your Spirit in us, loving others. We thank you for the freedom the truth brings, not so we can escape responsibility, but so that we can start experiencing the Spirit of God and be at peace and rejoice as we watch and experience the love of God in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name.